Your next speaker is Maxie Boren.
We hear a lot of rhetoric among politicians concerning the need for more quality education in our country. And much is written and much is said on the subject. And I think most of us would concur we want our children in the public school system to receive a quality education. And so we subscribe to that idea and to that concept. Let's have quality teachers and quality teaching. But for some strange reason, we don't seem nearly so concerned with the instruction that our children receive within the framework of the Lord's church. And that really concerns me because, you see, the public school system has our children a lot longer in time than we have them in Bible classes. You think in terms of 45 minutes or an hour on Sunday morning and another 45 minutes or an hour on Wednesday evening, and we're not looking at a lot of time. So we need to make that time quality time in the teaching that we do with our children in the Bible class system. Of course, all of us know that the teaching of children begins at home. And that's one reason why the Christian home should be so strong and so dedicated and consecrated. As children come into this world, they're taught by a loving Christian father and by a loving Christian mother. They're taught God's Word. They're taught His truth. They're taught His way, His will. And instilled within their hearts at a very early age is the ideal that they are to live for God and to do God's will, and that His Word is all important. Someone wrote these words, "Before your child has come to seven, teach him well the way to heaven. Better still, the truth will thrive if he knows it by the time he's five. Better yet, if at your knee he learns it when he's only three. But best of all is when you've begun to teach him of Jesus before he's one." I don't know who wrote that or I would give credit, but I've always thought it was well worth consideration. Brother Nations read a few moments ago from the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and I would like to share with you just that part, "Teach these things diligently to your children." Isn't that a very, very vital thought that we can glean from Deuteronomy 6? And apply to our own homes in this day and time. So, to the parents of children that are present with us this morning, I urge you and admonish you and exhort you as a friend, as well as a preacher of the gospel, to teach your children at home. But then comes the Bible class arrangement in the framework of the local church. And we want to talk this morning about that, but I want to lay some groundwork. I want to show you how that Christ is our great example in this area, as He is in all things. And He was always busy teaching. We're going to look at just a few scriptures that relate to the teaching of Jesus. And I could multiply this 10 times over, really, and still not exhaust all the references in this regard. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, the first part of the verse. "Jesus went about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." So here we find our Lord going throughout Galilee, teaching and preaching. Now, if that's not important, then Christ was wasting His time. But you and I know better than that. The Lord only spent some 3 years in His personal ministry, and I believe with all of my heart that He made every moment count. And yet here is one indication how that He busily was involved in teaching in communication. Matthew 5 and verses 1 and 2. "Seeing the multitudes, He went up into the mountain, and when He had sat down, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them." Just one scripture after another. The 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, if you would please, verses 1 and 2. "On that day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And there were gathered unto him great multitudes, so that he entered into a boat and sat, and all the multitudes stood on the beach, and he spoke to them. Well, what did he speak to them? He spoke to them in parables, but the parables were designed to instruct and to teach. So Jesus taught them. That's what he did. And here is another reference that pertains to that. Turn with me to the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. And let's look together at verse 1. And he arose from thence, and cometh into the borders of Judea and beyond the Jordan. And multitudes came together unto him. And as he was wont, or as was his custom, he taught them again. One example after another, all the way through the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, showing that Jesus was busily engaged in teaching. John chapter 7 and verse 14, another example. When it was now in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Multiply those 5 or 6 references that I've shared with you by 10, and you'll get some impression as to how many times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John the Bible depicts Jesus as teaching. It is important, or else he would not have engaged in it. Remember, Peter tells us that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, and Jesus was busy teaching. And you know he gave quality instruction. He taught them with authority. He taught them as one who came from the presence of the Father and who communicated the Father's will and made known to us his counsel. So he taught them authoritatively, and he taught them in a very quality way, busy teaching. In fact, it's rather interesting to note that about 2/3 of the time that people addressed Jesus, they addressed him as teacher. Have you ever noticed that? It's true. You look it up in your concordance, and you'll find that Jesus was generally addressed as teacher because he was busily involved in teaching. Now, obviously, the mission of the church is to teach. In John chapter 6 and verse 45, the apostle quotes from Isaiah 54 and verse 13 when he said, "It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh unto me." Well, they're not going to come unto Christ and thus to the Father unless they've been taught. And it's God's will that they be taught. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 following. Well, over in the Ephesian letter, chapter 4, in verses 11 and 12, Paul tells us that God gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints under the work of ministering, under the building up of the body of Christ. This is God's plan for building up the body. First of all, observe that it's his plan for sowing the seed of the kingdom. You go teach all nations. Now, once they've been taught and have been baptized, then you're to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You're to teach them under the building up of the body of Christ. I'm suggesting to you this morning that the role of teaching, whether it's one-on-one or whether it's in a classroom arrangement, such as we have on the Lord's Day at 9 o'clock in the morning and then again on Wednesday evening, it is of vital importance that quality communication be done as best we're able. Certainly we all have our limitations and we have our deficiencies and our insufficiencies, but to the best of our ability, those who teach should do so with it in mind that God wants His Word communicated. Teach others is the underlying theme of New Testament Christianity. You've been taught to teach others. I've been taught to communicate the message to others. So it's of paramount importance that we realize that. Open your Bible, if you would, to the 5th chapter of the book of Acts. I want this to sort of serve as a springboard for a few other scriptures we're going to look at, and then we're really going to get down to the nitty-gritty of our needs right here at Brown Trail. In the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, the apostles incurred the wrath, you might say, of the Sadducees and the high priest. And in verses 17 and 18, the Bible tells us that they laid hands on the apostles and set them in ward. Now notice verses 19 following. But an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, Go ye and stand and speak in the temple to this people all the words of life. Now they were taught then here by the angel to go where the people were and to communicate to the people. And when they heard this, they entered into the temple about daybreak and taught. So the apostles here were instructed by an angel of the Lord to go where the people were and to communicate God's word, tell them all the words of this life, reference to life in Christ, and they went and did what the angel of the Lord told them to do. In fact, when the absence of the apostles from being in ward was discovered, and officers were sent to bring them back before the council, verse 27, notice what the high priest said in verse 28. We strictly charge you not to teach in this name, and behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. I think that's a significant point for us to consider. Here were men busily involved so that all of Jerusalem was filled with the teaching pertaining to Jesus Christ. Isn't that a rather amazing accomplishment? I'll guarantee you, though there are many congregations of the Lord's Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, we have not yet filled this area with the teaching of Jesus Christ. I wish that I could say that we have, but we really haven't. Well, let's notice what happened. If you'll drop down to verse 40, after the council had deliberated as to what they would do, they called the apostles unto them and beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now notice what they did when they were released. They therefore departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and at home, they ceased not to preach and to teach Jesus as the Christ. Are you concerned about the church not growing as it ought to grow in our present day and time? Here is the answer, my brethren. If somehow we could get every member of the church busily involved in preaching and teaching, as it were, Jesus as the Christ, we would fill the Metroplex area with the teaching of Jesus Christ, and many people would be converted because there is power in the gospel. But I'm afraid that what's happening is that we're limiting our preaching and our teaching within the confines of our church building. But that's another story, and that's really not what I'm talking about this morning. I am talking about teaching within the confines here of the church building in the Bible class arrangement, which I believe is scriptural and reasonable and a plausible way of communicating God's Word at the level of those in the class. We have adult classes for those who've matured and advanced in wisdom and knowledge, and then we have classes for the younger groups right on down to the very beginning, so that everyone can be taught on their age level and mental level, and God's Word be communicated in a good way. But now let's get down to what we really want to say this morning, and I want to start in 1 Timothy chapter 4, and let's look at verse 16, a very simple statement made by Paul, and yet one that is so very vital indeed. Notice, take heed to thyself and to thy teaching. Now I want you to remember that, because in a moment we're going to make an observation. But those of us who teach, and certainly there is a pressing need for more and more to be involved in teaching, are told here to take heed to ourselves and to our teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, and said, "Thou therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Now this gives a certain underscoring of what we already observed, that we have been taught by others so that we ourselves might teach others. Let's bear that in mind as we think in terms of the responsibility of teaching. I have a responsibility to communicate the message of God. And so do you. Well, our Bible class arrangement is one way that it can be done. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, where we have a rebuke by the apostle of those who had not advanced through their own study and deliberations and exercising themselves in godliness. "When by reason of time that you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food." Many, many in this auditorium this morning have long since reached a time frame in which everyone should be well instructed, well informed, and thus ready and able to teach others. And yet I dare suggest that we do have people here this morning that have been in the church for a long, long while who do not feel that they have the knowledge necessary to communicate the message to others. There is a pressing need for more teachers, though, and the responsibility is shared equally by all of us. I have no more responsibility than anyone else. Neither do the elders. We all have a responsibility as the children of God to teach and to preach His Word. And yet we had better not take that responsibility lightly. Open your Bible now to a most arresting statement found in the book of James, chapter 3 and verse 1. And here, may I say in preface, that the inspired writer is not trying to discourage anyone from being a teacher. Why, we've already seen that it's the Lord's will that we teach. So he wasn't trying to discourage anyone from teaching. But he was trying to communicate the awesome responsibility of being a teacher. Look at James 3 verse 1. I'm reading from the American Standard Translation. "Be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive heavier judgment." The responsibility of teaching weighs heavily upon the shoulders of those who've taken it upon themselves to do that, even as preaching does. I stand before you this morning giving you full assurance that I do not take the responsibility lightly. I try and give ample thought and consideration and prayerful approach to my studies in preparing a lesson to present. Do so within the framework of my own limitations, even as a teacher teaches a class. But still, the ideal, the awesome responsibility weighs heavily upon me, and I'm sure I speak for David or for Johnny or any other gospel preacher, because it is an awesome responsibility. I believe I'm going to have to give an account someday to God for not only what I've said, but the manner in which I've said it, and whether or not I devoted myself to adequate preparation. And I believe that everyone who teaches and preaches falls into that category. "Be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that you will receive heavier judgment." The responsibility is there. It's not that he was saying, "I'm trying to discourage you from being a teacher. I'm throwing cold water on the idea." Not at all. Because the Bible is filled with scriptures which encourage us to teach and to communicate. And that's exactly what Paul said there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We've been saved, as it were, that we might be instrumental in saving others. And we are teachers that we might build up the body of Christ. So he's not trying to discourage people from being teachers, but he's trying to convey to their minds the awesome responsibility of being a teacher. Now, brethren, let me say this. In my considered judgment, and I believe it's in keeping with the tenor of biblical teaching, no one should be involved in teaching a Bible class within the framework of the Lord's church who is not, first of all, a genuine Christian. And by that, I mean someone who's really, sincerely, earnestly trying to live as the Lord would have us all to live. Now, I hope and pray that that can be said about everybody gathered here this morning that is a member of the church. Here is a genuine Christian. There is a genuine Christian. People who are really, sincerely, earnestly trying to live as God would have them to live. Who hunger and thirst after righteousness themselves, who study to show themselves approved unto God, who feast upon the Word of God, who take their stand for right as opposed to wrong, and who are really trying to live right. But I have seen people placed in the role of teaching a Bible class who really had no business in being there because of their errant lifestyle. I'm thinking right now of a man, without naming the town or the congregation, that was known in the area because of his foul mouth. Oh, he was a member of the church as far as having his name on the roll book. He was a rather prominent individual because he was pretty high up on the social ladder and he was quite well off materially wise. And so people looked up to him in that regard, but he had a foul mouth. And yet that congregation, because of its desire for prestige and all, had him teaching an adult Bible class in that congregation. And yet everybody knew that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, he was known to use God's name in vain as well as filthy language. And I say that it ought not to be that way. That man should not have been in that class. Had no business being in that class because he obviously was not living his life commensurate with the teachings of Jesus Christ. And how can one communicate the personage of Jesus Christ and His way of truth and righteousness if that individual isn't trying himself or herself to walk in the pathway of example that Jesus left? It's just completely out of harmony with the whole thing, isn't it? So first of all, everyone that does assume that responsibility should be, must be, a genuine Christian. And here's where the awesome responsibility of the elders comes into focus. You see, the elders have the responsibility of seeing to it that the flock is properly taught. Acts 20 and verse 28. If I were serving as an elder in the church, that would cause me to tremble. Take heed unto yourselves and under the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. Why, the very wording of what Paul said to the Ephesian elders sends chills up and down my spine. Tend the flock of God which is among you. 1 Peter 5, verse 2. Awesome responsibility. Therefore, the elders need to know who it is that is teaching in the classes of the congregation. And they need to be assured in their minds, this individual and that individual and that individual, those are genuine Christians really trying to live right. So number one, we can feel good about the fact that we've got dedicated, genuine Christians teaching in our Bible classes. But there is a second thing to consider. What about the knowledge of the individual? Are you going to put someone teaching in a Bible class who really has not passed the learning stage? Think of Hebrews 5 and verse 12. We read it a moment ago. When by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. Think about that. Well, I have seen many times babes in Christ placed in the role of being a teacher when they did not know enough themselves. Well, everyone, of course, of us, aspiring to fulfill the will of the Lord, wanting to teach, must be students then of the Word of God. Is the one in the class a genuine student of the Word of God? Does this individual evidence study and adequate preparation as well as a righteous lifestyle? If not, then that individual should not be placed in that role yet. Thus comes another factor. Well, how are we going to have teachers? We need to train them, prepare them to be ready then for that role of actually teaching. Thus, an ongoing class, you might say, or an ongoing emphasis on preparing people to be teachers. Oftentimes we wait till a person is full grown before we give them any experience at all. I think that it's very wise indeed to take some of our teenagers and start placing them in a role of assistant teachers or aide, you might say, to the teachers so that they might observe and see and learn how teaching is done in an effective way. So that when it comes their lot in the role of a local congregation to be called on to teach, then that they teach well. But we come right back to lifestyle. Someone has said, the way you teach is very important. And what you teach is even more important. But how you live is the most important thing of all. Because if people see a gross contrast in what you're saying and what you're doing, it's going to be ineffective, as was in the role of the gentleman that I referred to a few moments ago. But there are so many other things involved. Especially so for teachers, for an example of younger folk, to not only be prepared to teach and to teach well, but to understand and to recognize the responsibility of being a good example of that class of students by being there in a punctual way, in time, on time, actually before time to commence, so that this individual might welcome those little ones into the class, and the first one that the student sees is his or her teacher then, who is lovingly welcoming them into a refreshing environment which is conducive to good teaching, and here is the teacher not only smiling and welcoming them there, but who has a good, well-prepared lesson to challenge their little minds. So teachers then of small students especially need to be on time. But what I'm saying there is true with all of us. Even if you're teaching an adult class, be on time. You know, some folks are just perpetually late, it seems like. In fact, without naming the name, a brother in Christ approached me the other day. I've got a problem, and the problem is I'm just always running late. Well, that's a habit people get into. But that habit can be broken with a little effort. Instead of being late and running late all the time, just say, I'm going to be on time. And if it involves getting up 30 minutes earlier, I'll get up 30 minutes earlier. I want to be in my Bible class on time, greeting the students as they come. My lesson is prepared. I'm ready to present it. I'm enthusiastic and excited about it. And I've got it well in hand. Then you have a situation where good communication is accomplished. And hearts are taught. Minds are stimulated. And the Word of God has been effectively communicated. But brethren, the way we oftentimes do things is a rather haphazard, nonchalant, unconcerned way. Oh, we hear all of the clamor about we need quality education in our public school system. We might say, that's right, we really do. But I'll guarantee you that if that be true, we could multiply it 10 times over and say we need extra good quality teaching within the framework of our Bible class arrangement. We really do, my brethren. The elders have the responsibility of seeing to it that such is accomplished by having qualified, earnest, sincere, genuine Christians in there who are accountable for their classroom teaching. Let's take it seriously. Let's understand the importance of it. And really develop a classroom situation here at Brown Trail that would be second to none. Now I want to say something in that regard. And I don't want to be misunderstood. We have a lot to say here concerning the preacher training school. And I say amen to that. There's nobody here that's any more strongly for the preacher training school than I am. There may be others just as strongly for, but there's nobody any stronger for it because I love the school. I think it's great. David Miller is doing a tremendous job directing the school. We have an awful lot to say concerning the Truth and Love program. And again, I say amen. It's a wonderful program. David's lesson this morning was par excellent. I just thought it was outstanding. He always does an outstanding job. He and Johnny both. So I'm all for that. No one here is any stronger for the Truth and Love program than I am. But for some strange reason, we seldom hear our Bible classes mentioned. We seldom talk about the quality of instruction being done. Do we really know that God's truth is being communicated in an effective way? Remember, we've only got these students for 2 hours a week. That's not very long. We'd better do a good job while we have them here. I do appreciate the ladies who work so hard in the teacher's workroom and the quality material that they have produced and are continuing to produce. And there's no question in my mind that those who work there so very carefully would be more than glad to have some help in that regard. And we need new teachers for our classes that meet these qualifications we've talked about, who take heed to themselves and take heed to their teaching, who are sincere and earnest and wanting to do a good job, but want to be involved. Please see Roy about that. Roy Bellows, one of the elders, is the elder of the three that's pretty well over the educational system. And Brother John Miller and Kevin Kokas are helping him, and I'm being more involved in that. And so we want to really develop a good, constantly quality educational system within the framework of our classrooms on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And we need your help. We need your interest in this matter. Every single one of you, to encourage the teachers. Have you thanked the teachers lately? You know, we thank David, we thank Johnny about the school of preaching and the truth and love, but have we thanked the teachers, the ones who work through the week in preparing those lessons that are presented on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night, the ones who work in the teacher's workroom, the ones who put up the encouraging artwork in the hallways to stimulate greater interest in the teaching program? Do we thank those folks? Do we appreciate them? Are we contributing in any way to a better teaching arrangement? I hope and pray that what I've presented this morning will at least cause you to stop and think, is the program of teaching we're doing at Brown Trail a really quality program? You know, this congregation is known far and wide for being a congregation true to the book, for being a congregation that insists on Bible teaching and holding fast to the faith once for all delivered to the saints, and I'm thankful for that. And I don't believe any of us would have it any other way than that. But maybe in the passing of time we've let our teaching program sort of slip through our hands, and we don't really have the grasp on it maybe that we should and that we could do better. And so we need for some of you folk who are not involved in teaching to involve yourself. Volunteer yourself to Roy. Let him know that you'd be willing to teach. Let's get those names down on paper. And maybe that you would be an assistant teacher, or that you would be a fill-in teacher, or that you would be a regular teacher. Let Roy know who is willing to do that. And then let the elders look over that list of names and make sure that only those who are genuine Christians are involved, and only those who are really trying to present good lessons are involved. And it wouldn't hurt anything for the elders of the church to drop into some of those classrooms from time to time, see for themselves what is being taught and the quality of that teaching. And let's make these classes the best things that could possibly be in this congregation or any other. I hope and pray that you'll take the lesson in the spirit in which I've offered it, in view of such passages as Deuteronomy, in view of such passages as 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 2 and Hebrews 5 and all the other scriptures that we noted. Jesus, the master teacher, said, "Go teach all nations, and then teach those who've been baptized all the things that I've commanded that you observe." If you're present with us today and you're not a Christian, we would urge you, my friend, to obey the gospel of Christ, to be baptized into Him straightway for the remission of sins, as the Bible teaches. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. believers inquired, "What shall we do?" And they were told by the Apostle Peter, "Repent ye and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ by His authority for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's what the Bible teaches.